hooked on classics. I'm sorry, I'm a fan. 40 years, great music. I like classical. Now, if I played classical for the Ironhead, he wouldn't have a clue. All right? He's a wrestlehead. He wouldn't have a clue. But we'll save that for next week. Let's talk here for a Thursday morning program. We will have a little bit more open line time coming up toward the end of this hour. Right now, let's have some fun. It's a beautiful day again. And so we're going to talk about tourism with our friend Dave Gerdes from the Happy Valley Adventure Bureau. Hello, Dave.
Scott, good morning. It's a beautiful day out there. Just driving over, it's so green. The trees are popping. What? It's the end of April. This is an exciting time.
All right, you're a tourism guy. I can tell. Holy smokes, folks. Yeah. He's laying it on thick.
I'm starting.
Bit.
I've got it out. Let's go.
All right. But, all right, crazy thought. I mean, we had cold temperatures relatively recently, you know, a week or two ago or whatever. Now it isn't. I mean, is this like in your offices, which I was in your offices a couple of weeks ago, is this like, okay, guys, let's go?
As far as we're concerned, yes. In fact, I personally was looking forward to warmth. Many weeks ago, I stepped out and I heard geese flying north overhead. And I'm thinking, well, they know. Now, this was middle of February, so I was already anticipating warmer temps and this time of year. So it's exciting, though. Spring is just an awakening, like we all know. And, you know, the blue-white kind of kicks it off this weekend.
There you go.
That kind of symbolizes the beginning of spring or an exciting football season.
Or the beginning of tourism season. Is there a tourism season, or is that a false?
Well, you know, our objective is year-round visitation. So we really don't want to see that law. You know, fall is probably the busiest time because of football.
Oh, okay.
But summer is a very active time. And even though we don't have most of the student body here, there's probably more events going on every weekend throughout the summer than at any other time during the year. The communities get out. They have their festivals, their markets. We've got a lot of activities. We've got a lot of tournaments. I was just looking over the schedule earlier this morning. June is jam-packed. July is jam-packed. August is busy. And then before you know it, it's kickoff. We start the football season.
Interesting. All
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But normally, if I could, January, you know, when we come back from the holidays, you'd like to think that typically the winter is kind of slow, but we haven't seen that this year. We've seen a lot of activity early on, and people are visiting. You know, it's our responsibility to keep Happy Valley on visitors' mind year-round. And, you know, what we're seeing, people come, they come once, they come back. It's an easy trip, and it's a lot of fun to be in Happy Valley. I mean, how can you argue with the name Happy Valley, right?
Well, I've got a thought on that.
Yeah.
Let's do a little background. For folks that maybe don't know you, tell us something about yourself, your background. And, yes, Happy Valley Adventure Bureau, I've always loved that name.
Uh-huh.
Other places, it's such-and-such tourism office. I'm like, okay, that puts me to sleep. So tell us something about you, and then tell us something about the Bureau.
Yeah, well, I'm a native Pennsylvanian. I grew up high schooled in the Harrisburg area, graduated from Penn State 1980, so I consider this home. You know, I really enjoyed the late 70s, but when I got out of school, I left. And it took 25 years for me to return because my background's hotels and resorts, so I was all over the country. And then I remember returning. I brought my son up here for a football camp from Northern Virginia, and I was like, wow, this is... You know, it fits like a glove 25 years later. And so I had the opportunity to come back 6 years ago at the end of 2018 and help the region establish itself as a year-round destination and jumped at that. And we were building up, like most people, a lot of momentum with our business and with promoting the area, and then COVID hit. And back to your comment about the name, the original name was Central Pennsylvania Convention and Visitors Bureau.
Snore.
And at the end of October 2019 is when we unveiled the new name, the new logo, the new branding. We had a complete rollout plan. And I kid you not, it was scheduled to drop March 11th, 2020.
Oh, for goodness sake. Yeah.
It was almost like we knew. You know, so let's pick that date. And so obviously we had to hold back a little bit. And but our job at the Happy Valley Adventure Bureau, we are the official tourism agency for Center County. So our job is to promote the region for visitors. We want you to visit on an ongoing basis. And so we have to, it's a very noisy landscape out there in tourism. Mm-hmm. Everybody is pushing it. So we have to be very, we have to be fresh. We have to be out there. We have to be chatting. We have to be talking. We have to be available to potential customers. But we're fortunate. You know, we've got a foundation of alumni. And I was told when I came back, just give them something to do and they'll return. And I think that's true.
Just Center County? Like, for instance, our FM signal goes up to Lock Haven, Clinton County. Not that, you know, it's over the lines, not that far. So, but it's just Center County for you folks, or are you not allowed to, like, bump into other counties and areas? How does that work?
Yeah, well, technically just for the county, but we're a membership organization. We have close to 400 members at the Happy Valley Adventure Bureau, and we do have members that are outside of the county. So we have some, Del Grosso is a perfect example.
That'd be down near Tyrone Bellwood, okay.
Yeah. And we've got some down in Huntington. We've got some in Clinton County. We work with our neighboring counties for events. Ironman is a perfect example. We have to get support from Clinton County. So what's neat about Happy Valley is, and this is what we tell people, you're not going to find us on a map. So, yeah, it's the region. It's the area. But specifically, we are responsible for Center County.
Okay. Now, I think you said you graduated from Penn State in 1980?
80, yeah.
Okay. And you came back here in 2005?
Yes.
Okay. I've been here since 1985. All right. I didn't go to Penn State. I just came here for a job.
Yeah.
And I think about, you know, the changes. I'm like, whoa. Between 1980, you come back in 2005. How much change?
Well, at that point, if you go back, I didn't really recognize a lot besides the size of the stadium. Now, the last 15, 20 years, obviously the landscape downtown has changed with a lot of the student housing, but that really hadn't started. There weren't as many of the apartment buildings, but, you know, so that has changed a little bit down there. But in 05, I mean, it just felt like I came back with my dad, who's a 56 grad, and he said the same thing. He said the same thing. So, you know, there's that emotional bond to this area that so many people have, whether you're an alumni, whether you're a family member of an alumni, a neighbor, it's at times like that when you realize that bond is unbreakable.
The bond's unbreakable, but again, the area has just changed so much. Well, in 20 years.
Exactly. In the last 20 years.
And actually 40 years. I mean, I'm thinking of, there used to be drive-in theater.
Yeah.
That's long gone. This store, gone. Hey, where'd that store come from? Yeah. Where'd these tall buildings come from? You know, it's amazing how many things have changed in a relatively short period of time
when you think about it.
That's incredible. So tourism, okay, we definitely want to ask about upcoming things because you, all right, Blue White Weekend, here it comes. Now, are you folks like, that's a Penn State thing. Are you directly involved somehow with things going on Saturday? I guess I'm wondering, what is the relationship between the Bureau and Penn State? How does that work?
Well, we like to think that, and we do, we work together on a lot of events. We're not that involved with Blue White Weekend. That's a Penn State production. And obviously, you know, there's a lot of people that come in and out of town from out of town for that. But through the Sports and Entertainment Alliance, that's why we picked the term alliance, because it really is a working relationship between us and the Bureau and also Penn State. And Ironman, again, is a perfect example. We couldn't pull that off without Penn State and their assistance in that. And we have a really good relationship with the athletic department and all the facilities. And, you know, we had a big high school wrestling tournament back in March. I want to say it was the third weekend, Keystone Wrestling Championships, which was at the BJC. Again, we couldn't have done that without the assistance from Penn State. And so we work together with them whenever we can.
Now, the Sports and Entertainment Alliance, is that like some separate office, or how does that work again?
Well, we're all under the same umbrella, but sports tourism is so big here, like in many communities, it requires almost 24/7 attention.
Okay.
So we created a, like most areas do, most people might recognize in other areas, they call them commissions. Things like that. You'll hear about a sports commission. Well, again, because of our relationship with Penn State, we elected to refer to it as an alliance. But their focus is not only taking what is already here and making it bigger and better, but also finding new events and bringing them to the region. The staff at the SEA was just in, I think it was Tulsa, Oklahoma last week for a week-long convention with many, many rights holders to different events throughout the year. So that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to bring more events, bigger events to the area.
How many tourism groups are there, like, across the country? They have conventions? I didn't even know that.
Well, this was a specific sports convention where you have the people who are responsible for organizing events from softball tournaments up to NCAA-sanctioned events. They get together on a regular basis and meet with the different communities and exchange RFPs, what we call requests for proposal, bids. Mm-hmm. They talk about moving events to certain regions. So it's a good networking opportunity, and you get to know these rights holders. We call them rights holders because it is, without a doubt, you know, you talk about change over the last 20 years. Sports tourism is enormous now. It is enormous around the country. And, you know, you can start right at the top with like a World Cup. That's sports tourism.
Yeah.
All the way down to just a local softball tournament that attracts teams from outside the area, which we host quite a lot of softball tournaments in the summer.
Do you have a number? Like, how much money does tourism bring to us here?
We estimated that we broke the $1 billion threshold last year.
Wow.
On total economic impact to the region. And it is a wow because, we think there's more capacity there, quite frankly. We're in the process now of having an independent company put together our total economic impact study for 2024, but we expect to have exceeded 5 million visitors and that $1 billion local impact, economic impact to the area. And that includes everything. That includes what Penn State with the football games. That includes everything on the 300 and, you know, the full calendar.
Ooh. I had no idea.
Yeah, it is significant, and as I said, we think there's more there. People are just beginning to really understand what Happy Valley is and what it offers. This is a place we're trying to pull people out of the big cities on a regular basis. Come and enjoy your time here. Bring your event here. Bring your conference here. We're different. We're not those concrete jungles. There's no traffic. There's no long lines. There's none of those high prices. I know you're laughing.
Somebody would argue.
Football aside. But I think, you know, it's interesting because when we've talked to, I know going back several years, when you start talking to large organizations and right away they say, well, can you handle big crowds? And we go, duh. We do it 7 times a year, right? I mean, we're talking, over 150,000 people on some weekends in the parking lot for a football game. So, yeah, we can handle those large movements of crowds, and I think that's what this area is so endearing to a lot of these organizers because, they think of this area. When they think Pennsylvania, of course, they think south and southeast and mm-hmm. southwest. Mm-hmm. I call it the Turnpike line. But we're catching the attention of bigger events all the time, and a lot of that is Penn State and their facilities, and obviously the renovation is going to be a boom for the area because that's going to be an attraction. when it's done. It's not just going to be a stadium. It's going to be an attraction. And kudos to the folks at in the athletic department at the university as seeing it more than just, oh, it's only used 7 days out of the year. They want to use that on a regular basis.
Yeah. And I guess it's still accurate that on a football Saturday, State College is the third largest city in the state, mm-hmm. right? With number of people we're
talking about. Population-wise, yeah. Exactly. The stadium. I mean, the stadium itself, 110,000 people in there. You're right. It's number three in the state as far as population goes with the other cities. We track visitation through cell phones. And so a couple of years ago, and we had to run this report several times because initially it was like, this can't be right. But if you go back 2 years ago, the home opener against West Virginia.
Okay.
Perfect storm. 3-day weekend. Beautiful day. A night game against a old rival, which I don't think had visited.
It's been a while.
Like 30 years?
Yes, long time.
We estimated, Scott, that there were more than 200,000 people in that parking lot on that day.
Stadium and parking lot, yeah. The whole schmear right there.
And only half of them could get inside the stadium.
Yeah.
So it was more than a football game. It was an event where people came to from all over. We saw it. Although we don't have the we weren't really tracking the cell phone usage, but remember back to the whiteout game with Auburn. I mean, if you look at that picture, that aerial picture of whiteout, you see a lot of orange all over the stadium, and it's because their fans came up here. They felt that event fell on their lap, and they were going to take advantage of it. And it's those kinds of great experiences that people have for a football game that we're trying to bring them back the rest of the year and enjoy what the other attributes that we have in the region.
All right, now the stadium project, you folks don't have any direct involvement. It's all indirect, right?
Yeah, I mean, no, we don't. We don't have any direct involvement in what's going on with the renovation. Obviously, we have a good relationship with the athletic department and the administration at the university, but we don't have any input with that.
But when it's done, 2 years, when it's done, then you can kind of walk in to say, okay, we got this great new thing. Let's figure out how your agency, tourism agency, can use this great new thing for, I don't know, lots of stuff. And you and right, you and Penn State kind of walk in a room and, okay, guys, let's see what we can come up with. Is that the way it works?
And we have Penn State officials that are on the Sports and Entertainment Alliance board. So those conversations are happening on a regular basis about the types of events that we can pull in, not only to the area, but also in the future and at the stadium. I think concerts, last year's Luke Combs concert worked out really well. Mm-hmm. In fact, I think his comment was, this is the largest crowd I've ever played before, and I'm coming back. And we certainly expect to see more concerts in the stadium when the renovation is done. We'll be a part of that conversation. If I understand all the plans, I mean, it literally will be open to visitors. I think they're going to, they look at it as the front porch for the university. So that's where they're going to be driving all the campus visitors through the stadium. So you'll have conference rooms and banquet rooms. And, the intent is to keep it churning for a lot of the year, not only on the field with other events, concerts, Hoppy Valley, the Brewers Fest that we had last May. Unfortunately, we can't use the stadium this year because of the renovation, we're still having it.
Okay.
We're going to have it in the Porter North lot along with Medler Field in mid-July, the weekend, the Saturday after Arts Fest will be the second Brew Fest. So, it's looking at the different facilities that Penn State has as well as the area and being creative in its use and seeing if there's ways that we can utilize it to benefit a lot.
All right, now we're going to take a break in a moment. When we come back, then we want to find out about upcoming things. But I just thought, okay, this giant edifice in 2 years is going to be wonderful. We've all seen the pictures. It's great. Is there a possibly, okay, all the attention's going to go here, which is going to take attention away from this stuff over here? Or am I making that up? Could that somehow happen?
Well, we have to prevent that from happening. I think there will be, obviously, that is what everybody will be recognizing. Mm-hmm. And certainly, as impressive as it is now when you come into the region, it'll be even more impressive when it's completed. But, again, our job is to make sure the rest of the area does not have to take a back seat.
Take a hit, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but on the good side, it's going to bring a lot of attention to the area, and that's what we have to take advantage of, is ride the coattails, you know, why there is that attention on the new Beaver Stadium.
All right, Dave, hold that thought. We're talking with Dave Gerdes from the Happy Valley Adventure Bureau. All right, when we come back, he's got a big sheet full of yellow lines, and I'm assuming that's a whole lot of stuff that's upcoming here soon. So we'll stay tuned for that, and we'll have, Dave, I'm going to ask about wishes for the future. I don't know, a Wawa on every corner or something. I don't know, something like that. Okay,
Seems like they're coming anyway.
Maybe
right?
Not that, yeah. But that's a bit much. Friends, you're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox, and we'll do some more talking, good stuff, when we come right back.
The Center County Recycling and Refuse Authority is proud to support local sports here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Check out our website at centercountyrecycles.org for employment opportunities, upcoming events, the authority's newsletter, and details on what can and can't be recycled, as well as updated schedules. That's centercountyrecycles.org. Once again, the website is centercountyrecycles.org.
All right, I'm not an opera fan, but this is opera. Okay, that sounds like opera. Okay, there we go. Hey, folks, I'm different. What do you want? You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. Again, we'll have a little bit of open line time toward the end of the hour. Again, we're talking with Dave Gerdes from the Happy Valley Adventure Bureau. It's tourism time, folks. Here we go. Lots of things going. All right, Dave, you've got a sheet. You actually have two sheets with a whole lot of yellow lines on them. So let's start. What are some upcoming things that you folks have planned?
Well, let me explain this to you. Of course, your listeners can't see it, but normally I can rattle these things off without any type of prompt. But there's so much that is scheduled.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's so much that is scheduled starting next month right through until football season that I'm going to have to read some of this. But May is, you know, usually right after graduation, we kind of catch our breath. For a couple of weeks in the middle of May, you got Mother's Day weekend, mm-hmm. And then you get into Memorial Day weekend and all the events that surround, of course, Bowlesburg and some of the things. But there's other events that are taking place Memorial Day weekend. Burning Man is a music festival out in the Woodward area that's over Memorial Day weekend.
They're doing a Burning Man?
Well, really? I met with the organizers just recently, and I too thought it was somehow a playoff of Burning Man out on the West Coast,
right.
But it has nothing to do with that.
Oh.
The name of the band that started the festival was Ma'am. So, but it's out in the Woodward area,
okay.
And that is Memorial Day weekend. You've got, of course, the Nittany Antique Machinery Association,
yep.
And that's out at Penn's Cave. That's always a lot of fun. Draws a lot of visitors in. Coaches for Cancer is at the end of May. So, and there's a big wrestling, USA Wrestling will have their freestyle and Greco championships here in State College in the middle of May. So there's a lot going on in May, but the busy times are June, July, and August. And I think most of the public knows we had to shift the Ironman competition from the end of June to the middle of June because of a conflict with move-in, summer move-in on campus. We didn't want that kind of of crowd.
Okay.
So that will happen on Father's Day weekend, but that same weekend, you also have the Bellefonte Cruise, which is becoming more and more popular downtown Bellefonte. But Ironman follows the annual PIAA Spring Sports Festival, which we host. So I think it's on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday is the concentration of championships for softball, baseball, men's volleyball, and then lacrosse. And then as soon as they move out on Saturday, the Ironman competition happens that Sunday. So Father's Day weekend in June is going to be a very, very busy time. It's also Juneteenth weekend. We'll be celebrating Juneteenth that weekend. So at the end of June, you've got the Remington Ride Bluegrass Festival, which is out at the Grange. And, you know, I'd like to note, too, there's a lot of equestrian events that will be happening all summer out at the Grange Fairgrounds. Mm-hmm. And so any of the folks that that enjoy that, you probably have four or five different competitions this summer out there.
Yeah.
And they start up in June as well. So, and then you get into July, and, of course, everybody knows about Arts Fest and People's Choice. A new event that we're bringing to the area the following weekend, I take that back, two weekends after Arts Fest, mm-hmm. is the State College Criterium. Now, what is that?
I have no idea.
It's a cycling race in downtown State College.
Oh, cool.
So on July 26th, they will be doing a lap of downtown. I think the course is Beaver Garner, Foster and Pugh, something like that. But you have really accomplished cyclists coming to town from all over to race in downtown State College, and we hope that this event will become an annual event. And it's just another cycling event. You know, there's plenty of mountain bike races going on throughout the summer. The Grit Gravel Grinder is in early June, but they're up on the trails too. And that's the other thing that we spend a lot of time doing is promoting the outdoor rec scene here, because we are blessed to be surrounded with so many acres, thousands of acres of state forest, and people come to the area for that. In fact, that's our theme for the summer, is recharge here in Happy Valley, because, you know, as I said, you're not going to see a lot of crowds. There's a good number of people that will be visiting, but the crowds are not going to be overbearing throughout the summer months. But and then I had mentioned about the Brewfest is the 19th mm-hmm. of July. So July is going to be very busy as well. And of course, we always have the 4th Fest. That kind of kicks it off. Mm-hmm. So look at everything in June. Look at everything in July. And if I could tell your listeners, not expecting you to write all of these down or even remember all of these dates, go to happyvalley.com. Mm-hmm. That is the depository of all events happening in Happy Valley. And then, Scott, you roll right into August. The USA Yoga National Championships are going to be held here.
Wait a minute. Yoga?
Yoga National Championships will be in Happy Valley at the State Theater. So, you know, obviously this is we'll be attracting competitors from around the country, their families and friends, but it's open to the public. So, yeah,
They compete in yoga?
Yes.
I've never heard of this.
This is a national championship.
Wow.
So, and then we follow that up with another, we host every year, American Junior Golf in, I don't want to fail to mention all the golf tournaments that are also coming into the region, not only at the PSU courses, but also out at Mountain View and in Tofftrees. Junior Golf in August will be out at Tofftrees. But they've been with us since, on a regular basis since COVID. They were one of the first tournaments that came into the region during COVID because they could be outside, obviously, and play. But they were some of their players. This is a big tournament for the young kids because both the guys and the gals, they come in from around the world to play here. You'll see a lot of competitors from China, Korea, California, Texas, Florida. So this is a big tournament for those who are on the junior tour.
Okay.
And during COVID, New York and I think New Jersey, I think they were very restrictive with certain states and the visitors.
Right. Okay.
So junior golf came to Pennsylvania and said, let's go to Happy Valley. And they've been coming back ever since. So this will be, I think, number six, in August. And then, you get into the Ag Progress Days and Grange Fair. Mm-hmm. Now, I failed to mention all the different community festivals and special events. Phillipsburg, Bellefonte, out in Penns Valley, Bowlesburg, State College. I mean, everybody, it seems every weekend has something going on. And you got a full schedule with the Spikes. You know, I got to give a shout-out to Scott and Joe and the staff over at Medler with the Spikes because they know how to come up with promotions. It seems almost like every game has a special promotion and a fun promotion, too. But they kick their season off in June, so they're, 40 games right through the summer? So there's a lot going on in Happy Valley. It is not sleepy. Yes, the majority of the student body is not here, but we're still open, and we still are expecting and embracing more visitors this summer than ever.
Now, once Penn State kicks into gear in late August, classes, and then, of course, football. What happens in the fall then? Is it kind of, okay, let's back off. Penn State has a lot of stuff now. How does that work?
Well, it's interesting. A lot of it depends on the schedule. So we are, like most people, are waiting for that schedule to come out. And just like last year, this year there's only one game in the month of October, which kind of fits the region perfectly because fall foliage, you have that natural curiosity of visitors to come into the area because of fall foliage. You've got a lot of fall festivals that are going to be happening on those three other weekends in October. Typically, there's two football games in the month of October, but we're loaded up front with an August game, and I think there are three in September. Then there's one in October and two in November. So to answer your question, no, we've got to keep noisy, if you will, about the region all the time. We can't let up.
Well, you kind of touched on this earlier, making this a 12-month
destination
proposition.
Yes.
Now, you know, for skiing, for, you know, snow, wintertime, we got Tussie Mountain, okay. Is that possible, Dave, to make this a 12-month? That just seems like a lot.
It is. It's possible. It's a lot of hard work. We've got a dedicated staff and everybody. I mean, one of the things in going through this calendar, a lot of this can't happen without volunteers. And the volunteer community is just unbelievable. And, you know, Ironman, everybody recognizes what's needed at Ironman. Like 1,100 volunteers are needed to pull off Ironman.
Whoa, okay.
But most of these other events require some form of volunteerism. And this community does such a good job with that. And that's why a lot of events not only want to be here, but they keep coming back. So to answer your question, it is with the embrace of the residents, with the volunteer community. Winter is a great time. You've got so many different Penn State sports. You know, we don't have a big football weekend, but you've got hockey, you've got wrestling, you've got basketball, you've got all the women's sports that are gymnastics, and there's a lot on that schedule. We can be a 12-month year-round destination. We have fantastic, I mentioned the outdoors. You can use the outdoors year-round. It doesn't matter what season that is. Penn's Cave, the Tasting Trail, the Central PA Tasting Trail, I think their membership is now up to 18 different spots, is one of the most unique tasting trails, not only in the state, but in the region.
Wow.
And that's because it doesn't focus on one. You know, there's breweries in there. There's wineries in there. There's distilleries. There's cideries in there. So in order to, you buy a passport and you're from out of town, you're not going to hit all 18 on a weekend. You're probably not going to hit all 18 even on a week. So you got to keep coming back.
So, folks, yeah, that would not be wise to do all 18 tasting on a weekend.
That.
Don't do that.
Come back, you know, four or five weekends. We like to, you know, we like people to keep coming back. But yeah, there's always something going on. I know our staff gets a little testy when we hear people say there's nothing to do. There's plenty to do. And if you're not sure what it is, go to that happyvalley.com and look at the calendar. And there's small events, large events. I mean, a lot of these that I mentioned, you know, they might be the big ticket, the larger events or newer events to the area. But there is so much going on year round. Year-round. I mean, Christmas, when you really think about it, the off-season is typically Christmas, New Year's. I mean, it seems like the community leaves for the holidays.
That's a week.
Yeah, it's a week, maybe 2 weeks. You know, this year, of course, we were blessed with the playoff game.
Yes.
The weekend, I think, was at the 21st. So that really helped. That really helped end the year on a positive note. But usually, when the students finish up that I guess it's the fall semester, and then they leave for about 3 weeks, a lot of locals leave for the holidays. I know that's usually when I do my travel, so I guess you could call that's off season.
Do you know that, all right, that playoff game was a one of a kind? There must be a number. What did that day or that weekend bring into the neighborhood? There's got to be a number someplace.
Yeah, I don't know if I haven't seen a specific number, but we know a average football economic impact on the region is around $12 million. Now, we would think that...
Wait a minute, is that per game?
Per game.
Per game, okay.
Per game. So, on average, you know, some are more.
Sure.
And I would have expected that to have been a little more. The issue with that playoff game is there was already an event scheduled for that weekend. So people were already coming to the region, certainly not like that. It was a graduation weekend, although, you know, fall graduation is not as big as spring graduation. Right. But there were already people planning to come to the region, and Penn State was wise in adjusting the schedule and seeing, having the vision in advance to say we better move that to Sunday to allow for this potential playoff game. And, yeah, there was an impact. I would guess it's probably around $12 million. Probably that weekend from that football game with everything going on. We were aware of, unfortunately, the overflow. You talk about regional benefit. Mm-hmm. The overflow was into neighboring counties as far south as Harrisburg with the overflow because they couldn't get in.
SMU fans had to stay in Harrisburg.
Yes.
I remember that.
Yes.
Now.
Yeah. I think all but the football team had to stay in Harrisburg. Fortunately, the powers that be made arrangements for the football team or the opposing team to be in Happy Valley for the game. But yeah, I mean, there were some neat stories about people, the private jets having to fly into Williamsport at the last minute. They just assumed they could land here.
I remember that.
You remember, I was like getting in your car from Dallas and let's just go to State College and land.
All right. Now there's two thoughts.
Yep.
Okay. I'm glad you brought that up. I'd forgotten about that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we talked earlier, you and I have been around here for decades, okay? Do we have enough hotels? Do we need more hotels? Sounds like we do if we have people that have to stay in Harrisburg instead of up here.
Yeah, I mean, for big events, you always want more capacity, but you've got to keep those hotels busy year-round. And so that's that. You got to look at steady growth. You can't just pop it all of a sudden because that's when you're going to struggle. And I think this region is really good at controlling that. I know we have three hotels that are coming out of the ground right now, and that doesn't include the project over behind Sam's Club that seems to be that's kind of like a slow build,
dragging their feet.
Yeah. I'm talking about three other projects that are coming out of the ground, one off of Shiloh, and there's two off the Benner Pike going into Bellefonte. So we're slowly adding some inventory, but you can't move it too quick. You can't move that needle too fast. And I've seen other projects that are projected or proposed, but until they move dirt, I wouldn't count on them.
All right. Now, we talked about Penn State. All right. How much do you folks work with municipal governments, county government, townships, governments, and so on? I mean, do you have active involvement somehow with those folks?
Absolutely. Our CEO and president, Fritz Smith, is the one who's most connected with all of those officials that you mentioned. We do have other staff that sit on some boards, but we have to be. You know, we just can't be narrow. We've got to listen to everybody. I mean, I think everybody's worried about over-tourism. We don't see that happening here, but you have to be sensitive to residents. You have to be. When we are pursuing a large event, no matter what time of year it is, you have to consult with all the officials because they have to be involved in it too. You know, the criterium I mentioned, I mean, it requires some road closures in downtown State College.
Right.
We just can't wave our wand and say, close those roads. We want to bring this event in. So there's a lot of workings. We have board members. Not only HVAB has some town officials on our board, but also the Sports Entertainment Alliance. So you have to. It's a community effort. There's not one person or one organization that's driving it.
All right, you mentioned the airport. Now, we're not blaming, all right, but there's only two airlines flying out of State College Airport right now. A lot of us, I'm one of them, complaining, like, can we get Delta back? Allegiant, be nice to get them back again. Or expanding. I mean, you talked about the private jets had to go other places.
Yeah.
For that playoff game. What can tourism do to finally get some things moving to expand the airport to where it's not a tiny airport, but a much larger facility? Or do you have no involvement there?
Well, we do. Again, our CEO and President Fritz sits on, I guess it's the board out there or the authority at the airport. So he's very close to the situation. To answer that question, what can we do? We have to consistently grow visitation because that's the infrastructure that is needed to make the airport bigger and busier, if you will. If we're inconsistent, I mean, Scott, we have 150,000 people that live in this county. The larger airports are, Harrisburg, Hershey, they've got 1.5 million people that can get to that airport. So what we have to do, and that's where tourism can complement what's going on with the locals and the residents, is if we have a steady flow of tourists coming in, that helps build up an infrastructure, including an airport possibly, to want to bring in more flights because there is opportunity there. And that's our responsibility is to build that up.
All right.
And make this a steady year-round destination and, reach for that 6 million visitor mark and even go higher.
A couple of minutes and we're done. All the craziness in government right now, Washington definitely, not so much Harrisburg. I mean, are those entities somehow involved with you folks? I know grant money or other kinds of money or, influence and so on. Do you guys have an involvement with bigger government in some ways?
Well, we're part of USA Travel, so the National Association for Tourism. We participated, I think about 3 weeks ago, we were down in D.C. for a congressional day. So that's where leaders from the different travel agents, tourism agencies around the country converged on D.C. and spent a couple of days talking to those who legislate. We're worried about the tariffs too. There's a big concern about Canadians not coming south during the summer. We see more and more Canadians coming into this area, but there's concern. So yes, we're involved with some of those larger issues. And it's just like, as a community, collectively, we're a lot louder and a lot stronger than we are individually. We're very involved at the state level. We have a wonderful state tourism department. There's grant money that's available through them. So if we're not applying for it, we're helping people locally to apply for some of that grant money. So, yes, there definitely is an involvement with not only local government, but at the state level as well as at the national level.
All right. I mean, at the national level right now, they're cutting this, that, and the other thing. Mm-hmm. Does that have any effect on you folks?
Well, it does because, you know, I mentioned earlier about our wonderful outdoors state forests. Raystown, I think they've had a couple of their beaches or whatever closed down. Campgrounds are closed down for the summer. You know, so that's going to impact them, which will indirectly impact us, although it's been interesting, and this has been reported, and we have seen it, the advanced bookings at our countywide parks, Bald Eagle, Black Moose Shannon, are significantly up. Now, is that a direct result of what's going on south of us? There's probably a little bit of that, but there's also that need for people to get to those outdoors and enjoy the, you know, as I mentioned earlier, get out of the big cities and decompress and relax and chill and, you know, come to Happy Valley and you know, it is that, it's that immediate, I travel a lot and when I get back here, there's that sense of calm when you hit the valley and we've had a lot of out-of-towners make that reference as well. They're used to the concrete jungles. So hopefully that's it. We won't see any other impact with the cuts with some of our attractions or with the state parks. But it trickles down. It trickles down.
Final question, 1 minute. Wishes for the future. Oh, if we only had this. Come on. You guys have to have a list. If we only had this.
Well, we always need more money. I mean, we need more money to promote the area.
I think everybody
needs more money. But I think from my perspective, that's the first thing that jumps out is we typically target people, visitors, within 250 miles of State College.
That's the whole state.
It goes beyond the state,
okay,
but there's some big cities that are involved within that radius. It goes as far south as Richmond. It goes north of Toronto.
Ooh.
It almost goes to Columbus to the west, and it goes into Long Island to the east. So there's some big markets there, and that's where, you know, we could bring in more visitors from that area. So right away, you know, on a personal side, I don't know. I've never really thought about what would I wish for. I think a successful football season, a championship. I think as much attention as that program, the Penn State football team got last year, there's even more attention if they continue to climb. And I think we're all excited about the upcoming season. You know, Penn State sports really help shine the light on this area when they're very successful. The women's volleyball championship. What a story that is. And of course the ongoing success of the wrestling program. And, I think all of those things working in unison help elevate the awareness of Happy Valley.
All right.
Some people still don't know where Happy Valley is. You know, when you go into the places like New York and the big cities, unless you're talking to alumni or people who know Penn Staters, they look at you like, where is Happy Valley? And it's always fun explaining to them.
Because it's not on a map.
That's what I tell them. It's a frame of mind. It's a reference to the region. And you know, how can you say no to something that's happy? And we tell them no matter how they arrive, they're going to be leaving with a smile on their face. And it's probably because they're enjoying ice cream from the area.
Yes. Okay. Dave, great conversation. And I guess we're going to be doing some things together, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, we're looking forward to that, Scott. This is a great vehicle to get the word out, you know, and again, the residents are so important. I talked about the volunteers, but they've been very supportive of what we do and what we're doing. I think it's a good audience to talk to on a regular basis.
Very quickly, if somebody wants to be a helper, Where do they go? What can they do?
Well, if you want to be a volunteer for any event, I would first reach out to us at the, you can send me an email or call the bureau and ask to talk to me or anybody on staff, and we can point you in the right direction to get you, lined up with the right group for volunteerism. But, you know, Ironman volunteer, we can direct you to the right, but we really appreciate your listening audience and their support and their volunteerism, because as I said, none of this would be possible without that. None of this.
And your website is happyvalley.com.
.com. Very easy.
That's
very
it.
Easy to remember. You'll find everything out about Happy Valley and things to do and other special efforts at happyvalley.com.
Dave, appreciate the time. Thank you.
Thanks, Scott. Have a good